Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is your Tuesday Teaching Tip for Tuesday, the 20th of December, 2016. And today we're talking about how to interpret a passage, especially if you don't have as much time as you would like. Many of us are blessed with having hours or even days to think about and prepare a lesson. We have many resources, but some of us, we're very time-strapped and we don't have as much time as we'd like, but still, we want to do a good job interpreting a passage. We don't want to be superficial and we don't want to be just saying the first thing that comes out of our head when we talk about a passage with people, when we're preaching and teaching. How do we do that? How do we, when we don't have much time, how do we prepare well? So I've got some ideas for you that are inspired by a book I've been reading and mentioned a few times, Preaching with Humanity by Wright and Stevenson. And we'll come to some ideas from them that I think you might find helpful. Just to begin with, here's a quote from page 78 on which we will base our tips today. Four main tips. Someone called Ron Boyd McMillan said this: I go through the passage four separate times, four different ways. I usually do 15 minutes for each segment. First, I go through the passage with the mind, noting the who, what, where, when, and so on. Just fixing the facts of the passage in my mind. Secondly, I go through the passage with the body, using my five senses. Thirdly, I go through the passage with my feelings, especially entering a character's point of view. Finally, I go through the passage with my spirit, asking the question, what is God saying to me through this text? So we're going to explore these four areas to help us interpreting a passage. Firstly, the mind. Now, I'm going to use all my examples from Luke chapter 15, but the mind, first of all, as we think about Luke 15, which I preached on recently, going through the who, what, where, when, and why of this passage can be very helpful. The thing that I noticed as I read through the passage and thought about it in particular was the significance of the drama of the father later on in the passage going out from the party to speak to his older son. The younger son has come home. There's a big party going on. The fattened calf has been killed. It's a great time of celebration of the reconciliation that's happened. The older son won't go in. So he's standing outside, separated, just as much as the younger son was separated by a greater distance, granted, when he left. But still, even though it's a shorter distance, the older son is still separated just as much. And the father goes out to him. An extraordinary thing in that culture, of course, he goes out and pleaded with him. And I try to picture in my mind's eye that separation and the father deciding, I'm going to leave my guests, I'm going to leave the younger son, I'm going to leave the building and the party, and I'm going to go out. That geography of moving out, I thought was very significant in the passage. So that's something that struck me. What do you see? Maybe the next passage you look at, what do you see in terms of the who, what, where, when, and why? Secondly, the senses, taste and touch and smell and hear and all those kind of things. In this passage, it's a very dramatic passage, Luke 15, and so it's easy to get into that, I think, in this one. The younger son going out there and having fun, in a sense, all the pleasures of the flesh, but then coming to the point where he is hired by somebody to feed the pigs. Have you ever been near a pig farm? Have you ever worked on a pig farm? I mean, I've worked on farms growing up down in the Kent countryside, and some of those farms were, let's just put it, the aromas weren't too pleasant. And by the time I got home from work, I needed to have a bath, I needed to have a shower, I needed to take off quite a few bits of clothing and put them somewhere else that wasn't nearby. Farms are not the most pleasant places in terms of aroma. And a pig farm, working with pigs, it's a challenge, I think. So I try to bring to mind that very pungent smell of being around pigs, that is not just a strong smell, but when you get up close, it kind of goes up your nostrils and hurts. I mean, it's actually, I can remember it hurting my nose, these kinds of smells, and that thought of what it was like for him. So getting into a passage like that, using our eye, our sense of sight and hearing and smell and taste and touch, What was it really like? The thirdly, feelings. The feelings of the characters. Going back to Luke 15 again, what were these characters feeling? What was the young son feeling once he was so desperate? What was the father feeling as he watched his son leave? He's given him his share of the inheritance and he walks off. Did he stand there watching as his son walked slowly? Perhaps he was on a donkey and eventually goes around a bend or over a hill. And as far as the father is concerned, he may never see that son again. As a father, I don't understand that exactly, but at least I can get into it a bit, that feeling. And then the feelings of him coming home. Well, the feelings of the older son, seeing the younger son treated, how he would regard it at least, as so unfairly, the anger that we see in this passage. And relating to anger, I have felt at mistreatment at times by people I care about or care for me or I felt did. Our feelings are important. So we're talking about looking at the passage through in the mind, in the sense of the mind, through the senses and and feelings. And then to finish off, the spirit. What is the spirit saying as we read through the passage? And this is where I think simply taking the time to read it well is very important. To read it carefully, to read it slowly, and let God speak to you in a quiet place, without distraction. Perhaps if you're in the house in a quiet room, or perhaps you can go outside into a wood or somewhere in a garden or somewhere just quiet to listen, to read and think and listen. And as I read this passage, the more and more I read it, the more and more I asked and prayed, God, what's this for me? The more the older son stuck out at me, and someone who sometimes did not celebrate when God celebrated. And I think sometimes I get too competitive and I get too concerned about how I look rather than what pleases God. And that's what struck me. I think God was saying, celebrate with me. Everything that's good, celebrate with me. So, four stages of interpretation there. The chap in the book says he spends 15 minutes on each. Can you spend at least 15 minutes on each? Perhaps you could only spend 10 minutes. Perhaps you could spend half an hour on each. Whichever. What do you think of those four stages of interpretation? Does that help you in thinking about how you might interpret the next passage you get the opportunity to preach or teach? Looking at the passage through your mind, through your senses, through your feelings, and then allowing the Spirit to speak to you before you then decide what to preach and how to preach it or teach it. In the end, it's about getting our imagination involved. We need to look for what's already in the passage, but looking at it using our imagination, which is a gift that God has given us. And I think that helps us to really dig into a passage, especially if it's one you've read once or twice before, but get your imagination juices going through this four-step process. What are your thoughts about that? What helps you to interpret a passage well? Do you think these could be helpful, or do you have some of your own ideas? I'd be very grateful if you could let me know. You can email me, mccx@mac.com, or you can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording. And by the way, if you've subscribed to these recordings, thank you ever so much. But if you haven't, please consider doing so and spread the word so that others can get to hear about these tips. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.